From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The worst mass shooting in the history of Texas this Sunday was also the second time in recent memory that a white male gunman entered a church and massacred people. Devin Kelly gunned down nearly every single person in the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, leaving 27 people dead and the rest critically injured. Among the dead and injured were many children. It was in June 2015 that another white man named Dylan Roof entered the Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, killing 9 people inside. And it has only been a few weeks since Stephen Paddock fired rounds hitting 500 people and killing nearly 60 at a music concert in Las Vegas. The declarations of thoughts and prayers that emerge from lawmakers who pander to the NRA sound more and more hollow with the advent of each gun-related massacre. While politicians appear to have myriad ideas on how to combat, quote, terrorist acts by brown-skinned or Muslim people, they seem to be at an utter loss to address the far deadlier scourge of gun violence. Joining me to share his thoughts on this issue is Reverend John Vaughn. He is the Executive Vice President of Auburn Seminary based in New York. Welcome to the program, Reverend Vaughn.
Good to be here, Sonali.
So what went through your head when you heard of yet another person entering a church, a space that's supposed to be safe, a space that is supposed to be open to all, and systematically gunning people down?
You know, I immediately kept thinking of other instances where you wonder, what is it actually going to take for us to take gun violence seriously? And I think this really, the other thing that went through my mind is just, there's just got to be some ways that there are better checks and balances around who has guns and how they get guns, and as well as trying to stem the flow of guns that are being manufactured and over manufactured into communities.
This particular issue seems to leave lawmakers stumped, even though there are some very clear steps they could start to take. What do you make of the responses that we see over and over again? My thoughts and prayers, our thoughts and prayers, our condolences, etc. Every time there's a massacre at the hands of a deadly shooter, that's pretty much all we hear from politicians. And when anybody tries to suggest policy solutions that involve gun control, we are told it's far too soon to politicize the tragedy.
Well, let me first say, as a faith leader that is deeply committed to my own faith and to ranges of communities, certainly thoughts and prayers are important. And so we want to encourage that as both a sense of solidarity and a sense of really praying for the support for those that have really had very traumatic experiences. But I think at the same time, I think one of the real challenges is that there has been an unwillingness to address both the need for tighter guidelines and restrictions around who gets guns and how they get guns. There has been a continual unfettering of the gun manufacturers in terms of the manufacturing of guns and the flow of these guns into communities. And so I think really at the end of the day, you know, elected officials and those of us who can put pressure on elected officials have to be about the message of that there are very specific things that can be done. We're not talking about eradicating guns, because there are those that are responsible gun owners. And so my father was one of those. I have friends that are responsible gun owners. This is not about that. This is really about the processes by which folks get them. There are people that have guns that should not have guns. And it's also about the proliferation of guns that are making their ways into communities across this country.
What do you make of Donald Trump's response? He said on Twitter, because that's, of course, where we get his most direct responses, "May God be with the people of Sutherland Springs, Texas. The FBI and law enforcement are on the scene. I am monitoring the situation from Japan." He then posted, "Americans do what we do best. We pull together, we join hands, we lock arms, and through the tears and sadness, we stand strong." I mean, he seems resigned to simply let things continue as they are, which only means we'll have more tears and more sadness as more Americans lose their lives needlessly to people with guns. It is so easy to get guns that this particular person, who had a history of domestic violence, history of child abuse, was discharged from the military, should not have been able to purchase guns, was still able to purchase guns, and all we get is tears and sadness. We're going to stand strong. I mean, it sounds absolutely meaningless.
Well, and I feel, and it begins to feel more and more meaningless when you continue to hear the words, which I think are important because I think one needs to see and empathize with the tragedies that people are experiencing. I mean, these are loss of loved ones. These were somebody's fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, cousins, aunts, uncles. So I think that is real, but I think the words of solace without necessarily then turning into, all right, so what are we actually going to do about this? It does begin to ring more and more hollow. And so I think as a leader of faith and moral courage, I think that it's important to pray, it's important to empathize, it's important to be pastoral and supportive in this moment, and to begin to also ask the question of, so how do we prevent this from happening again in the future? What systemically is going on that we can do to help prevent more of these kinds of situations to have? And so, at the end of the day, this really is about more stringent regulations in terms of like the approval of who gets guns, and there needs to be a stemming of the tide of the amount of guns that are getting produced that are finding their ways into communities.
Now, Reverend Vaughn, you're in New York, where recently you had a terrible attack of a motorist driving a truck in and mowing down people. New Yorkers were actually 8 people were killed. The majority of them from outside of the country, Argentinians as well. You suddenly, saw this very, very lengthy set of policy recommendations jumping out of lawmakers' mouths. Let's end the visa lottery program, chain migration, that's the problem. There were so many suggestions, most of which one might argue wouldn't actually do much. And yet, you have between Stephen Paddock and Devin Kelly far more people killed within just days on either side of this New York incident. What do you make of the hypocrisy of politicians' responses, particularly Trump's?
So let me first say, both as a New Yorker and one who lived through 9/11, it started to, it triggered a lot of those memories for a number of us. And certainly, I was in church the day after, kind of at a prayer service, and also with Bible study as we're beginning to both reflect and to make sense of some of this. But even in our church setting, our response and our reflection together was that our answer needs to not lean into fear with fear. More fear does not beget peace. So for us, and in faith communities, we have to find ways to counteract fear with love. We've got to counteract fear with policies and with preventative measures that we feel are going to protect the common good. And so, this notion of kind of both reacting, yet it may come out of a place of fear, but to really begin to ask the question, all right, so what's really going on here? What are the ways that we can try to prevent some of what's going on here in terms of the shootings? And so, it is it's easy to kind of use a situation for maybe a particular agenda that you want to trot out at a particular moment. But at the end of the day, this is really about how do we provide more stringent guidelines for who gets guns and who uses them, and also how do we stem the tide of these arms coming into communities. And that's at the core here. And I think if folks aren't addressing that or looking at that is of certainly concern to me and to many others.
The narrative that emerges from the gun proliferation activists is, of course, this idea of the good guy with a gun, this sort of fantasy of, if only everybody was armed, then the good guys with the guns could stop the bad guys with the guns. And indeed, that's a bit of the narrative that's emerged from the church shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas, because the perpetrator, Devin Kelly, was shot by somebody with a gun, apparently somebody who was even an NRA firearms instructor. And the right-wing media is hailing this person, and there were two people, I believe, as heroes. However, Mr. Devin Kelly had already finished his violence when he was shot. And in the end, he died not by the gun, not at the hand of someone else's guns, but at his own hands. He was injured by the other shooter, but he ended up killing himself. What do you make of this idea of good guys with guns, and people even saying, well, if only somebody in that church had been armed? As a man of faith, how do you feel about this idea that churchgoers should be bringing their guns into church with them?
Well, in my faith tradition, we learn that violence begets violence and fear begets fear. Violence does not all of a sudden make things right, and fear doesn't all of a sudden shift the situation. They tend to build on each other. And so in my tradition, the response to fear is love. The response to fear and violence is unconditional love. And then figuring out, so what does that, that is not necessarily about arming more people that then ramps up the fear factor and makes more and more people afraid and increases the chances of more people being shot, by mistake or because they looked at me this way or they look like X. You know, what we need to figure out is how do we find ways to de-escalate? How do we find ways to not answer fear with fear, but to de-escalate in these situations and begin to ask the question, so, you know, how did he get guns in the first place? And how do we stem the tide of folks, you know, who need to not have guns?
Well, the pro-gun lobby says it's because the Air Force didn't forward his criminal record to the FBI. As per Pentagon regulations, that's why he got a gun. But he could have easily attended a gun show and bought a gun there, right? There's so many loopholes.
Right. There are many loopholes and many, many ways that I think that folks can get guns in this country. And so, which is why I think at the end of the day, we have to find more systemic ways to regulate who actually gets a gun, you know, and we have to regulate the stem of the amount of guns that are flowing into communities.
So is there a concerted effort by faith leaders to address the issue of gun violence? Are faith leaders like yourself getting organized and saying that as people of faith, you want to see the NRA influence on Congress reduce? You want to see greater gun control legislation, especially at the federal level?
So, I mean, I think that we've seen faith leaders, partnering with other national organizations that have been advocating this at the national level as well as at state levels. And I think one of the real challenges is that, there's a way in which money is truly directly influencing policy. And so I think we've got to find ways to lessen the impact of money so that we can actually do what we feel is the morally right thing to do.
Is there a website for Auburn Seminary that you can share? I know that the seminary has published its reactions to the tragedy in Texas.
Absolutely. So it's www.auburnseminary.org. And that's certainly one of the, you can see some of the writings that a number of us have done reflecting on this. You'll also begin to identify other national organizations that you can connect with that are doing such advocacy. And I would really encourage people to find ways to lift up your voices, both connect with existing groups that are advocating, or at least even in your one-to-one conversations, you know, not get seduced by the fear that that fear builds upon fear, that this is really an opportunity as people of faith to lean into the question of, so what does it actually mean to love everybody? And how does that then translate in terms of policy-wise, in terms of the common good? And so for me, in terms of the common good, we've got to find ways to better regulate and stem the flow of who actually has guns, and that there are responsible gun owners. And I want to hail and support responsible gun owners, but I think at the same time, there are people who need to not have guns, and I think we have to find more stringent ways to put some checks and balances in terms of how folks have guns and how they use them.
Well, people's right to life is a little bit more important than people's rights to guns. That's my view anyway. Reverend John and Vaughn, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Reverend John Vaughn is the Executive Vice President of Auburn Seminary based in New York, and we've been discussing responses to the latest gun massacre, which took place in Sutherland Springs, Texas. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.